so I can finally, finally wish you a Merry Christmas. We were told a couple of weeks ago by our intern that we shouldn't be saying Merry Christmas, and that's true. We should be wishing everybody a Happy Advent. But I have to say, probably like you, that I heard my first Merry Christmas in November, and I'm really sure that I saw my first Christmas decorations in September. And I also know that Monday, most of all of that is going to be gone because everybody's over it, and we really are just starting. So I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, and just to clear things up, because I know you're tired maybe of saying Merry Christmas, let me wish you a most holy and sublime, yet joyous celebration of the Incarnation. Wasn't that helpful? Oh, I'm kind of hoping that Hallmark would have come into that and thought, next year that's what we can wish everybody. Okay, I'll explain it to you in a minute. What I get to do is tell you a Franciscan story first. Are you ready? 795 years ago, Francis, in the little Italian town of Greccio, realized, this is a true story, realized that the people were not getting the whole thing about Jesus. They were caught up, imagine, in commercialized kind of social, cultural stuff that really had nothing to do with Jesus at all. Now, imagine going on Christmas Eve to the Greccio Walmart. 800 years ago, it didn't exist. But it's easy for us sometimes to miss Christmas. And Francis knew that 800 years ago, 795 years ago, 1223. So what he did is he got a local farmer in Greccio to bring a cow and a donkey to church. And he brought them up to the front and had them standing right by the altar. Now, he didn't have a baby, so he brought in an icon of Jesus as a baby and put it underneath the altar. And the altar then became the manger with the live oxen and the live cow. Now, I played with the idea of maybe having a live creche scene for all of you this evening, and I thought because Francis used a real oxen and a real donkey, that I mean a real cow and a real donkey, that maybe I could find somebody to play a donkey and a cow. I made some calls to some of my friends down south, and the politicians down there volunteered. And, you know, I try to be a good Franciscan, so I realized, why would I want to insult my brother cow and my sister oxen? You know? Anyway, never mind. So the point is, when people came to church, they were surprised to see a live oxen, a live cow, and a live donkey. And it made them kind of think about things a little bit differently. And what Francis wanted them to see was the wonder of this feast. And that feast is all about a little baby. So let's talk about little babies. How many of you have ever held a little baby in your life? Pretty much all of us, right? If not a baby, I could substitute a puppy or a kitten because, you know, we're kind of geared genetically, I think, to kind of make goo-goo eyes at puppies and kittens and certainly in babies. So if you've ever held a baby, the whole world changes. Did you ever experience that? You hold a kid for the first time, whether it's maybe your grandchild or your child or the neighbor's child. I worked in an ICU, intensive care unit, a long time ago, and we had a neonatal unit, and I got to hold babies that fit in the palm of my hand. Now, a lot of those babies didn't live very long, so it was hard. But I would hold the babies, because babies need to be held. You know this about babies. They have to be held. So I would go, and there was a rocking chair, and I would sit, and I'd hold the baby and rock. These little guys. If you've ever held a baby, your life is transformed. And if you're the parent or the grandparent, you've never thought that you could love anything more than the baby that you're holding in your arms. Your whole world changes. The little baby is so vulnerable. The little baby needs everything from us: to hold the baby, to feed the baby, to rock the baby to sleep, to clean the baby. That's why God makes them cute. Because boy, when they do that stewed spinach, that could knock you back. You know what I'm saying? The thing is, it's a baby. And we always see the baby as so vulnerable. And yet the wonder of holding a baby is that we become vulnerable. You take the biggest, most stereotypical truck driver that looks like he eats truck tires for breakfast and is huge and, you know, lumbers his way through life, and you put a baby in his hands, he melts like a puddle. Not only is the baby vulnerable, but so is Dad. This is the wonder of a baby. They teach us to hope. They teach us to have faith in each other. They teach us to love. A baby. So the story continues. This story that we tell this evening is the story about how God, the creator of everything, I mean everything, sent to us a baby to be vulnerable, to need us to feed the baby and hold the baby and take care of the baby. God becoming vulnerable to us so that we would become vulnerable to God. Before that birth, we always kind of had an excuse. God, you really don't know what it's like to be human. I don't think that's a really good argument, but people used it. After Jesus was born and brought divinity completely within our humanity, we know that God is with us as humans in everything that we do. God is with us. That is the message of Jesus' birth. God is with us as a baby. Now, if you think God throws thunderbolts and hurls things and is cranky and crabby and all the things that you might have heard about God from somebody who is afraid, let's think about the baby. Each one of you, I know, knows how to hold a baby. Each one of you, I know, knows how to fall in love with a baby. Each one of you knows how to be vulnerable. Tonight, the message is, let's hold the baby. Let's open our hearts. It's a difficult thing to do sometimes because our society and our culture for at least 800 years have been wrestling with this whole notion. And it's easier to kind of stay up on the surface level and buy gifts for people. Nothing wrong with it. But we need to get deep into the mystery of the incarnation, which means God, divine, forever present in the human heart. Forever. That's you and me right now. Oh, well, you've been, you know, I might have cussed walking on the way to church because a car pulled out in front of me in the crosswalk zone. That might be a true story. I was glad God would have been with me then because I thought I was going to Jesus and not being here this evening. No matter what, the message is that God is with us. God loves us. Individually, by name, God gives each of us the gift of a baby to hold. My brothers and sisters, just in a couple of minutes, you're going to be able to practice what the angels said at Jesus' birth, and that is peace. So you're going to be able to offer each other a gift of peace. Know that when you do that, you are expressing and celebrating Christmas. And later on, when you come to the table and everybody is invited for this bread, the manger in Francis's story, that when we do that together, we celebrate that we are one, that we have sat down at table with God who loves us. And lastly, how you celebrate Christmas is when you go home and you take the chance of loving the people that are around you and being a sign of peace and faith and hope for the people that you meet. And very lastly, every time you say, "I love you," you are celebrating the divine love in all of us. You're going to celebrate Christmas all year long. Every time you say, "I love you." So, here's your first New Year's resolution. Ready as I just zip you through all the celebrations here? Go celebrate Christmas and be sure that you say, oh, I don't know, as much as you can, every day that you can, to someone that you love them. My brothers and sisters, God's love is with you.
Standing or seated or kneeling, as is your custom, let us pray.
Good and gracious.